I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. We're going to take a look at a couple passages of Scripture there. And we see here in Mark chapter 1 where Jesus is actually, you know, calling his disciples. Mark 1 verse 16, it says, "And he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." So that's the first chapter of Mark. Now we're going to fast forward all the way to the last chapter of Mark, where he says this after his resurrection. "And he, Jesus, said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." All right? So as we look at these two contrasting passages this morning, we see the same theme, basically, of the gospel. You know, Jesus tells them here again in Mark chapter 1, "You follow after me, I'm going to make you become fishers of men." Then here he says, "Go into all the world and preach." He says, "I'm going to prepare you to be great fishermen." Mark 1, Mark 16 is go fish. He's preparing people to fish, to tell, to exclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the great commission that we all have as the church, as the body of Christ, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I love what Jesus said here. Before he ever said this, he said this. He said, "Follow me and I will make you become fishers of men." You know, God prepares us. He equips us. The Bible says the scripture has been given that we may be fully equipped for every good work, which includes the work of evangelism. There is an equipping and a preparing that God does, that the Lord does in the heart of his disciples, his followers, his children, to prepare them, to equip them as they become fishers of men. And this morning, you know, as we look at the gospel, sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel, I think, you know, one thing I've discovered probably, you know, just in being in the church and living for God, one of the biggest areas that many, many Christians feel a sense of condemnation about is their ability to share their faith. If I was to put the works of the flesh up there from Galatians 5, adultery, fornication, lewdness, hatred, variance, anger, strife, revelries, and I'd say, okay, pick, you know, to have that whole list of what we know is the flesh, and then at the bottom list put sharing your faith, and say, what are the top three that you struggle with the most? I would say sharing your faith would come up in many lists as far as, you know, just something that you're, you know, you're endeavoring to live for God. It's one of these things, we know it's out there, we know it's why we're here, one body, many members, but what does that mean specifically to me in my everyday life in sharing my faith? This is something I've struggled with right alongside everybody else. All right? I mean, I went to Rhema. I didn't go in the evangelist group. I went in the pastor's group. You know, you just say boo to the pastor, the evangelist group, and everybody's up there cheering, hooting out, "Ooh, yeah, right!" They're just as exuberant, these evangelists. And us pastor's group are just more subdued and contemplative, you know? Wondering when they're ever going to get over that thing that, you know. But they, you know, there are different giftings and callings that we have, and so we're going to have different emphases in our ministries, you know? But, you know, Paul told Pastor Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So it's not like just like the work of evangelism is just on the gift of evangelist. No, we all, that's something, sharing our faith, as we're going to find out, is something that we all, as a cell of this body, have a part to do. We have a part to play, okay? So this morning, I want to talk about how to share the gospel. How to share the gospel. Again, this is going to be kind of real practical, down-to-earth stuff and how you can share your faith.
and really help get the treasure that's in your earthen vessel out to other people, to where they can see it and realize the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we talk this morning and delve into, you know, simply how to share the gospel, I want to start out by asking the question, what is the gospel? Okay, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, in a nutshell, the gospel of Jesus Christ, first of all, it's good news. It is really good news. And it's, in essence, the good news of a love story between God and man. God created man. Man rebelled against God, and God goes after him anyway. While he was a sinner, just goes after him, loves him. You know, that's the high-level, simple, one, two-sentence version of the gospel. It's the love of God who comes after his creation. So that, I like what Jesus said, so that where I am, you may be also. That's really the essence of the gospel, the good news that where God is, we may be also. There is a way. There is a way to be with our Creator who absolutely loves us. It's a love story between God and man. Now, within that love story that we know and understand, especially as believers, what you don't realize is that now that you're a believer, you understand things a lot better and clearer in a way that you did before you became a believer. You know, because you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you just, it's hard to distinguish sometimes, you know. The reason why you know so much is because of you, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you got the Word. Before that, it was theory and speculation. But now you know some things. The Spirit's bearing witness with things that are true. You get that inward witness, and you know, you just take it for granted. And you need to live by the inward witness. But as you kind of go back, as it relates to sharing the gospel, what's important for us to understand in terms of the gospel is, what is that plan of salvation? What are the, you know, obviously, you're not going to read the whole Bible to somebody and getting them saved. What we need is, what's the basic outline plan? Where, with the authority of Scripture, can we proclaim the gospel? And, you know, I've heard one of the great techniques, plans of salvation, again, this is very practical in sharing your faith, is to use what people call the Roman road, all right? Now, the Roman road is basically four scriptures found in the book of Romans, all right? So when you hear people talk about the Roman road, they're basically talking about the book of Romans and kind of four little points along that road of truth, scriptural truth, that you can get to bring somebody from a place who doesn't understand Christ to be able to appreciate and receive Christ. All right, so here are the four, what we call the four Roman road scriptures. Number one is Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. This passage of Scripture reveals the sinful condition of man. This is the scripture that spiritually locates a person. And this is the scripture and the truth that when you speak and declare, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will bear witness with that person, that unbeliever, that that's where they are. It'll reveal to them that I am there. Yes, that's me too. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I have turned aside. I have missed it. I have been selfish. All right, so that first step along the way of the Roman road is to simply establish the fact that people need the Lord. They are in a sinful condition that they need to get out of. All right, that's what's going to make the cross make sense. All right, but there's the starting point. The next one, I've got actually the other three bullet pointed here. 6:23, the next one is, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in other words, I'm in this quandary where I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of it is death. It's separation from God. But, thank God, there is a gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose of Jesus was to get us out of that quandary, that there is a gift. There is a gift from God that can get me out of that sinful condition where I'm at. And so, that's, you know, step number two. Praise God, there is an answer. And number step number three, Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So in other words, God not only had this gift, but he gave that gift for us. And what happened? How did that gift transpire? The Bible says that Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That he died for the sins of the whole world. So everything that I've done, everything that represents my sin in Romans 3:10-12 was taken care of on the cross in Christ. That's the good news. Yes, I've done wrong. Yes, I've missed it. Yes, I've fallen short. I owe a debt. I owe God. I've transgressed. But the payment for that debt came through the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the cross, he fully satisfied God's demands for justice regarding my sin. And when Jesus bore my sin in his own body on the tree, in the accounting books of heaven, it was satisfied in the heart of God. That's the good news. That provision has been made available. So, point four, Romans 10:9-10, actually in 13 there. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's ultimately where you're getting somebody to that fourth point in the Roman road. Number one, they realize that I am in a sinful condition. I am a sinner. You see, if you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. But when you establish the fact that, yes, you've sinned, you've missed it, you've transgressed, you need a Savior. Then step two, you say, hey, there is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but there's a gift of available. It's through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died on that cross. He demonstrated his love toward us. Christ died for us. He died for us, and God raised him up on the third day. And then when a human being hears that gospel message and believes that message, they are born again. They are saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So what we're talking about here is, many of you have heard this before, it's basically the plan of salvation. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? We, a lot of times, know that plan of salvation. Here's the kicker as it relates to sharing your faith and knowing the gospel. And Paul mentions this right up front in Romans chapter 1. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm a bold person, because I know, I'm secure. No, there's a reason he's not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In other words, the Apostle Paul, yes, God used the Apostle Paul to write the book of Romans, so Paul knew the Romans road. God used Paul to write it and to pen it. But it wasn't just a plan. It wasn't just a formula. It is the power of God unto salvation. Paul believed in the gospel. He believed in the power of the gospel. There is something about you declaring this path as you're fishing for men in the various different ways you may declare it, that the Holy Spirit will anoint that. You know, the Bible says the Greeks seek after wisdom, Jews want a sign, but it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. There is something about the simple, pure gospel of Jesus Christ that will cause a person to be saved. And this is where it's so tempting a lot of times as we're sharing with people that it's easy to want to try to get off in kind of tangents in a bazillion different ways. And there is a place definitely for identifying and empathizing. But realize at some point, as you're sharing, you're going to get around to the plan of salvation. You're a sinner. You've fallen short. God provided Jesus. You can believe on him. If you call upon his name, you will be saved. You heard what I just said about that? If you just in your heart believe that your sins are on that cross and you call upon his name, you will be saved. And so what is the gospel? The gospel message is basically that outline. Praise God. We're a sinful people. We're born into it. God provides a gift. Jesus pays the price on the cross. And we with our mouth confess a declaration of belief in what Christ did in paying for our sins and being raised again. That's a powerful thing. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's that simple. When a person believes and declares and confesses the gospel and makes it their own. But the big thing, too, for us is as we're doing this, we have also got to realize that the gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, as I'm going and I'm sharing and thinking, I'm thinking, yeah, and I get around to it. I know Jesus is leading me. I got to get around to that. You know, God became a person in Jesus, and he died on the cross for your sins. You'll get a little voice in your head, oh, boy, this sounds so fairy-tale-ish. This is so simple. This is so da-da-da-da-da. I want to be more clever. And you got to trust the power of the gospel. Jesus loves you. He died on a cross for your sins. And if you believe in his sacrifice, you will be saved. That grace will absolutely transform you. Believing in the power of the gospel. It's not how clever you can say it at the end of the day. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. And we have to humble ourselves as ministers of the gospel too and realize that, yes, it's the plan is simple. I'm dealing with a great intellectual mind. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And God anoints that simple gospel message. I remember being in a fair booth one time, and I was with somebody, and I really knew the word. I was getting learning a lot of stuff, and somebody over in the booth next to me seemed like they were getting people saved, and I'm sitting here having an argument with this person trying to get them saved, and all they do, they're just reading off their track. They're just reading the gospel, and people are responding. Hey, what's, you know, I'm clever. I know they don't even know the Bible as well as I do, but they're getting more people saved because they're sticking to the message. They're staying on message. The gospel's the power of God into salvation. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Some of it can get over into spiritual pride, into thinking that, you know, you're, keep it. The gospel is the power. Trust the gospel. Trust the gospel. I remember Whitney coming back from Nepal, same kind of experience where, you know, it was like, oh, get back on track. It's the gospel, the gospel. There's something about these words, declaring them, that the Holy Spirit anoints and gets into a person's heart. The gospel is the power of God. So one area of just kind of something to go free in, is it just a practical, believe in the gospel. Believe that the gospel has power as you share it. You may have shared it and people rejected you. It doesn't change the fact the gospel has power of God. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Keep going on. There is power in the gospel. You know, I had this deal where we were street witnessing with a guy, and me and a guy were street witnessing, and we came up to a guy, and we began to share him the simple faith, the Romans Road, and he looked at me, and he looked at us and said, oh, you're one of those. You know you're going to heaven when you die. I was new at this, street witnessing. You know, Steve, the guy who was leading me, I was kind of more following his lead, you know, because he just was really angry and in the face, and Steve said, well, you know, we're just out sharing the good news, and, you know, we just pray God bless you and anything we can ever do, and he just was very gracious. Just, you know, turn around, went the other way, and just began to pray for that man. Just began to pray for his heart, pray for his spirit. Walked across the street to a bus stop and got three brothers saved. Within about 5 minutes, led him to the Lord and prayed the prayer. Some believed, some didn't, but he stayed in believing in the power of the gospel. So whatever your experience was with one person or situation, it doesn't change the fact. The gospel is the power of God. We don't have to change the message. The message is pure, it's clean. God will use us in ways to deliver it in different ways to people. We'll get into that later. But in essence, you're going to get around to the fact that you need Jesus. He died on the cross for your sins. Believe on him. Call upon his name. So how does share the gospel? First of all, just defining what is the gospel. It is the fact that we are sinners who need a Savior, and we call upon his name, and that's how we get saved. The next point in terms of how to share the gospel is share your testimony. This is a very powerful way you can communicate the gospel, because your testimony is your testimony. How you came to Christ. And there is power, there is authority, there's anointing in your testimony. Colossians puts it this way. It says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. All right, 1 Peter puts it this way. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, they who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. In other words, regardless of how they respond, you just know how to give a defense. The message puts it like this: through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ your Master, and be ready to speak up and tell everyone who asks you why you're living the way you do, and always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God, so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick, and they'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. When you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, one of the most powerful arsenals you have is your testimony. Because at some point, that Romans Road thing clicked, and you saw it, and you got your story, you got your little mini movie on how it clicked in your life and how you saw it. Testimonies are a powerful way to win people to Christ. In fact, my testimony is the fact that I got saved by a testimony. Okay? For me, it was when I was in DeLong Junior High, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and I was in Miss Lewison's recreational reading class. And obviously, in hindsight, I know she was a Christian. I know she was a believer. She had had a book review, a book report on Run, Baby, Run, which is Nikki Cruz's life story and how he got saved. And, you know, she read us, like, you know, the first 20, 25 pages and just got our whole class just at the edge of our seats. And she came prepared. We had, like, at least 25 to 30 copies of Run, Baby, Run right there. And we were all just reading and eating up. And it was just amazing. And it is his story, how he came to Christ. Praise God. Got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, living, going in Bible school. I mean, it's the full deal. It doesn't hold back in any way, shape, or form. And it just so happened that within just a few months after that recreational reading class session, Nikki Cruz was coming to Eau Claire, Wisconsin at Memorial High School. And I went there to that Memorial Auditorium gymnasium. I can still see it. I can still hear Nikki preaching in his broken English, but I was glued to every word. And after I read the book and I heard the gospel preached, my heart responded, and I remember I went forward at that altar call, and that auditorium, and I on purpose gave my heart to the Lord. And I went off to, we kind of went to the cafeteria area where the counselors would meet with, you know, the conference who just went forward, and I remember my counselor was there, and kind of further explained, just to make sure that I understood my decision and all that, and he said, would you like me to pray for you? And I just remember saying, you know what, I'd like to pray. And I just remember praying and just thanking God for what he had done in my heart, my life, and that Jesus died for my sin. See, there's something about it. It can just sound like a story. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit anoints it, all of a sudden, that was my sin on the cross. Ed House's sin was on that cross. Not just a theory of sin, my sin. Yesterday, the day before, tomorrow, my sin. He paid for it all. The Holy Spirit makes that real. We can preach the gospel, but it's the Holy Spirit that draws people to the Father and makes it alive. We do our part, the Holy Spirit does his part, and when that person does their part and they respond to the gospel, that's when that miracle begins to happen. And I remember praying that prayer and just declaring my own prayer, and when I was done, I felt like when I came out from that place of prayer and fellowship, I've made this testament, I just literally felt like I was lighter on my feet. You know, the old burden of sin rolled away. Well, that is like really true. There's a peace that comes on a person when you pass from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's something that happens. You have peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. And it's like a tangible presence of peace. And I remember it and remember it even to this day declaring. But how did that happen? I ultimately, you know, heard Nikki Cruz preach his testimony about how he was a gang member, and little skinny preacher David Wilkerson comes into the middle of their hood and tells them that Jesus loves them. Boy, you talk about putting your trust in the gospel. You know, and Nikki looks him in the face and says, I can cut you into 1,000 pieces. And he goes, yes, and every piece would be crying, I love you and God loves you. And Nikki can't get that out of his heart. Somebody who's not afraid of him, especially a skinny little white guy. And he just, out of curiosity, has to go to that service that night. And the Holy Spirit, working with the preaching of the gospel. See, that's what you got to realize. When you're sharing your faith, it's not just you having to be really like a lawyer and getting it across. It's the Holy Spirit who's going to be anointing that simple truth that you declare and making it real. And there is something powerful about your testimony because you know where you've come from. You know where you were before. You know where you are now. And when you see that and heard that testimony of Nikki from that, you know, famous gang leader to now a powerful minister of Christ, whoa, it's like, yes, this isn't just a cute little story, you know, to give us some pseudo hope. No, this is a life-changing, powerful gospel. And forgiveness is real. Peace is real. Relationship with God is real. Praise God. And one of the powerful things you have in a very practical sense in sharing the gospel is your testimony. That's what the Bible says. You know, be prepared. Let your speech, walk in wisdom for those that are without. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. You know, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for the reason for the hope. Think about your testimony. That's one of the practical things you can do. If someone would say, how did you get saved? Or what's your story? You know, think about your own story. You'll be blessed by it. You'll be encouraged by it. But it'll also become something in you and fresh that you can share. And be ready to give away to somebody who asks you for the hope that is in you. Well, let me tell you how I got the hope in me in the first place. Praise God. So, your testimony, very, very powerful way. The other thing, as we're sharing our faith, is that we want to have a good news perspective. Okay? This is a very important, too, as we're preaching. Because the gospel is good news. When we are preaching, we want to have that good news perspective as we're approaching people. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said this. He said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Goes on to say, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. This is really an interesting passage of Scripture. Jesus starts out talking to Nicodemus, telling him the great plan of salvation right there. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, he was not sending his Son in to condemn the world, but to provide that way of salvation. Then he goes on to talk about, this is really interesting dialogue here. This is the condemnation. Light's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone practicing evil hates the light. And we see that. And as you're trying to approach this world with the gospel, a lot of times, they're going to approach you with their own questions. You know what I mean? They are going to, and a lot of it is oriented around this very thing. They love darkness rather than light. They don't want to come to the light for one reason. I don't care what kind of intellectual reason they may give you. I don't care what kind of story they might have for you, there's a reason why people don't come into light, for fear that their deeds will be exposed. There's a morality issue and conflict going on the inside of somebody. And when you preach the gospel, it's very important that we are gospel-centric. We're pointing people back to the fact that God so loved the world. Somebody down here might be wrestling, I don't want to come into light. And they may approach me and say, okay, this is it. Hot button of the truth today. Homosexuality. Is it right or is it wrong? Is homosexuality right or wrong? What do you think about that? Your Jesus stuff, whatever. Is homosexuality right or wrong? I want to know. What do you think? Tell me. Before you ever go on about your testimony or anything like that. You know, if I'm talking, this is an important thing. When you're approached by that, we'll say that question. There's a difference between, you know, let me put it like this way. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. This morning, I'm talking to the church. I preach the word to the church. I preach the gospel to the world. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Somebody comes up with that question. Come on, is it right or is it wrong, preacher? Tell me. I want the answer. And really, what is it? They're wrestling right here. They don't want to come into the light for fear that their deeds are going to be exposed. And I might come into light if you'll tell me that what I'm doing is okay. You know, I want you to, and that's not the gospel, is it? That's kind of been a perversion in our culture today. Well, there just is no more sin, and everything is okay, and it's all light. That's not true. You can't call evil good and good evil. But at the same time, we're not here to be fussing about these things as it relates to our commission to preach the good news. And so when the world tries to drag you into these morality debates, come on, is it? Is it right or is it wrong? I can say this. I can honestly, with a clear heart, look at somebody with eyes of love and say, here's the deal. Whether it's right or wrong, I know one thing for sure. There is a God in heaven who absolutely loves you. Absolutely. In fact, he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son. That if you'll believe in him, you will not perish. You will have everlasting life with God. Absolutely. And I can tell you something else about you. Whether or not homosexuality is a sin or not, you've still sinned. I've still sinned. We've all missed it. So it doesn't even hinge on the morality of homosexuality. It hinges on the fact that we're all in need of a Savior. We've all missed it somewhere. Even if you want to debate this thing, you've missed it somewhere. We all need that sacrifice that Jesus came on the cross. That's the point. That's the point. See, people are wanting to, again, drag. They're trying to fight the moral, but bring them back to the gospel. Bring them back. Bring them back. Why? The gospel's the power of God into salvation. God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You can believe on him. You can be saved. Yeah, but what about this? You know, look to him. He'll show you what you need to know, but you look to him. The answer is in Christ. What? The gospel's the power of God into salvation, not my ability to argue morality. I've discovered that through the years. If I could just win this fight and prove them, nail them dead to rights, they're going to come to Christ. They're blinded. And the love of God has a way of lifting that blinder. It's an angry, what he's describing here, you know, you got a choice. It says here, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I can shame them for loving darkness, or I can point them to the light of the gospel. What am I saying? When you're sharing your faith, have a good news perspective. Bring it back to the gospel. God loves you. Is it right or is it wrong, preacher? Whether it's right or it's wrong, God loves you. Whether it's sin or not sin, you've sinned, and you need him. And if you'll call upon his name, he'll save you. He'll change your life like he changed my life, and he'll answer those questions for you. He'll show you those things. What am I? I'm talking right now to an unbeliever, all right? Now, if a believer asks me, what about this homosexuality thing? I say, hey, great question. Let's go to the Word of God and find out. We see that all Scripture is given by inspiration. There is moral authority to correct moral behavior. We can go right to Romans 1:27 and speak it clearly. I'm instructing a believer, equipping them to understand things. But when you're coming in the context of an unbeliever who's not even saved, they need the gospel. They need to get saved. You got to get them through the door. Once they're through the door, then they'll have the Holy Spirit in them. The Word of God will mean something. And then you can go to Romans 1:27, and it will have authority in their life. But when they're not even saved, when they're without hope and without God in the world, and you're pounding Romans 1:27, it's not going to resonate in their spirit. You got to get them saved. You got to get saved, and then you grow up spiritually. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Gospel-centric. A good fisherman is going to bring it back to God's love. A good fisherman is going to bring it back to good news of God's grace in your life. We preach the word to the church. We preach the gospel to the unsaved. Once they get saved, then we preach the word. But we got to preach the gospel first. It's kind of like having to abide by the policies of a company you don't even work for. I don't even work for you. What do you mean I got to come in at 8 o'clock? I'm not even an employee of your company. But once you become an employee of that company, then you have responsibilities. But a person who's without hope and without God in the world, they're not even in the family. Got to get them in the family. Got to get people born again. Have a gospel-centric good news. When the world comes fighting about the morality and there are 50 reasons for not coming into light because there's a lot of religious bitterness and religious hatred, and I saw this, that, and the other, God loves you. Jesus died for you. No matter what anybody else has ever done, he loves you. He cares for you. Absolutely, I know that for sure. And that if you'll call upon his name and receive what he did on the cross as a sacrifice for your sins, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You'll be saved. You'll be transformed. Aren't you glad you didn't have to pass a Bible test before you received Christ? Aren't you glad you didn't have to pass somebody's political test before you received Christ? When you're without hope and without God in the world, there's one thing. It's Christ being lifted up, and you're believing on him. My politics have changed through the years. My mind's been renewed in areas. Again, I'm glad I didn't have to have all that figured out ahead of time before I received Christ. No, I received Christ first, and then I grow up spiritually, and things change, and things change in my life. See, the gospel, I'm always bringing it back to the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. If the church gets off message from the gospel, one thing will happen, you'll notice, people won't get saved. We need to get on message with the gospel powerfully. The gospel is the power of God. The lost need to hear the gospel. And as a fisher of men, God's going to show you how to fish for them, how to fish for their souls. Next thing, let your life shine, okay? Jesus put it this way. He said in Matthew chapter 5, 14, he said, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or on a lampstand, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I love this. Here's another powerful way that you can share the gospel with your life. When you're living for God, you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the Word, you're a doer of the Word, you are preaching the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, "You are epistles read and known of all men." There is something powerful about it. It's not the person who declares gossip is wrong and I don't believe. No, it's the person who's peculiarly silent when everyone else is talking. That's the person who stands out in a crowd. That's the person who's salt. That's the person who's light. It's the person who's doing the Word. When you're doing the Word of God, you're preaching the God. That's what's causing people to take notice. And then they connect the dots. Oh, yeah, that's one of those Jesus people. And they're not tearing them down. They're just adding it. Boy, I'd like to be their friend. They seem like a safe place. You know, when you're letting your light so shine that it doesn't say that they may see, that they may hear your theology and glorify your Father who's in heaven, that they may see your good works. They're seeing something with their natural eyes, you living out this walk for the Lord. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians. He says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." It's important to understand that good works do not save us. Absolutely, 100%. But good works are not a bad thing. Sometimes people can feel like they're so strong in their grace message that they feel like good works is a bad phrase. It isn't. Not if you study the Bible. Read Titus. Paul over and over has maintained good works, good works, good works, good works. Good works are powerful when it comes to sharing the faith without you opening your mouth even sometimes. Sinner plus good works equals sinner. Sinner plus grace equals child of God. Child of God plus good works equals light and fruit and the gospel. Good works are hugely important. You just got to understand in the right context, not for salvation, but for bearing fruit. That they may see your good works that you ordained to walk in and do what? Glorify your Father who's in heaven. Good works are powerful. I'm just saying, and these are the quiet issues of your life. I've been dealing with this bitterness. I've been dealing with this frustration. I've been dealing with this passion. But God, I'm just consecrating to you. I'll tell you, you change. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have a peace and a strength as you begin to walk and live and grow up spiritually. And it's not just a soapbox to condemn. You're free. And people see you're free. They push that button and you'd go off. And you're not going off anymore. They can't figure you out. You got this peaceful, sweet look in your heart and mind. You're shining. When you make those decisions to live for God, that's a very practical way that you share your faith. They see something in you. They see your good works. It absolutely ministers to them in a powerful way. Here's a song along these lines. This is by Russ Lee. It's called Live What I Believe. These are the days for the children of faith to stand up and be counted. Now is the time for the light in us to shine on who's ever around it. One life can be the proof of the hope that is in you. Again, I know that from Nikki Cruz. I'm going to live what I believe. I'm going to walk that line. If it costs me everything, I'm going to stand for what is right so that everyone can see it's Jesus that they need. I'm going to live what I believe. The world will see God's grace when we work and we pray and then love like we mean it. If there's ever been a day to give ourselves away, I think we're in it. There's a passion deep inside for my life to testify. Lord, let me be used as a witness for you with faith and conviction. You've called me by your name. I will not be ashamed. Going to walk that line. Going to stand for what is right. It's Jesus that they need. I'm going to live what I believe. That quiet working out of your salvation and growing up process as you're going from glory to glory, there's a glory that's noticeable by people in this world. It's what causes you to want, it causes them to want what you have. Amen, praise God. And then have empathy and compassion as you're sharing, okay? I love what the Apostle Paul says here. He said, for though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all, that I may win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who were under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law. Not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I may win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. This is powerful. This is the Apostle Paul going where people are at and identifying with where they're at. Letting them know that he gets them. He knows where they're coming from. There's an empathy and a compassion. And then he ministers to God. But notice how he starts it out. He starts out this way. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I may win the more. This is love talking here. Yeah, I'm free. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to connect with you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to understand. I'm going to empathize for the sake of the gospel that I may win some. So yeah, he'll get down. He'll understand maybe their story, where they're coming from. And then when he's got them connected, he knows that they know that he knows and they understand. Then he begins to roam and road them and begins to point them to the gospel. And yeah, it applies to you too. Man, let me tell you my story. Man, I was the chiefest of sinners. Man, I was the kingpin of the sinners here. And God just took me as an example for everybody. You know, so this applies to every, even you and your situation. But there's an empathy. There's an understanding. There's a compassion, you know, that comes through. When that comes through in your testimony, that kind of brings the door down, as it were. It brings the wall of the heart down, so to speak. God put it to me this way one time. God spoke something so clear in my spirit. He asked me a question. He said, Ed, could you win your unsaved self to the Lord? Could you win your unsaved self to the Lord right now? It's a good question. Would I? Could I? Would I empathetically reach out in a way? Or would I run myself off? I have a little bit of an advantage. I knew myself. You know, you kind of know yourself the way you were. Could you have won yourself to the Lord? And after the Lord asked me that profound question, all of a sudden I had this really cool Twilight Zone plot pop into my head. It was a typical Sunday morning. Pastor Ed House preaching his message on how to share the gospel in just a moment is about to be transported back in time as a completely different person, where he will have the task of winning his unsaved self to the Lord. And he's about to find out that this will be his only chance to receive the Lord. In the Twilight Zone. It would make for a little suspenseful episode, but I can tell you one thing about that episode. I have a lot of empathy and compassion as I'm reaching out to myself to receive Christ. And I know the Lord asked me that question for a reason, to remind me that every time you approach someone with the gospel, you hold their precious self in your hands. This isn't a venting session for my morality. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Their soul is the precious fruit of the earth, he refers to it as. It's a precious and awesome responsibility. People are precious. God so loved. Jesus died on that cross for the precious soul. And we got to realize, man, there's got to be empathy and compassion and understanding. You know, because if that was, you know, could I win myself to the Lord? I'll tell you what, you know, I'd be led by the Spirit of God. Now, let me just say this too. If you share the gospel, you share your heart, and somebody rejects you and runs off, it doesn't mean you did it wrong. Not at all. I mean, there's going to be times when people are going to reject you. People rejected Jesus. People rejected Paul. It's not because they didn't say it quite right, all right? But they did say it with compassion, with empathy and understanding. Then people have their own decision to make. But it's important for us when we get those opportunities to take those opportunities with that kind of Paul. Even though I'm free, I make myself a servant. I get down. I try to empathetically understand people. Doesn't mean I change the gospel. And so, I empathize so that I can bring people up. The old adage, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. It's that identification. We had a teacher at Raymond that said, hey, make an acquaintance, make a friend, make a believer. You know, there's a process. But have empathy along the way as you're ministering to God. Also, patience. The Lord isn't slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness, but it's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God isn't late. This is the message with his promises, some measure of lateness. He's restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Boy, that's the heart of God. That's a sweetheart. Well, he paid a high price. And when we realize that price is paid, boy, praise God, I'm going to have patience. He's patient. You're going to have to be patient. So what am I saying? As you're practically working out the effort of sharing your faith, you're going to grow in that area. You're going to probably be able to share your faith more effectively as you learn and grow. And you know, it's the fishermen. You fish. You know, I remember my brothers, we always fished bluegill growing up. And we got good at fishing bluegill. I'm telling you what. But to be a really good bluegill fisher, you don't just go out there with your, I mean, we were fly fishermen. So that was kind of the rite of passage as a houseboy. If you're in, you know, Albert House's family and you're a boy, you're going to learn how to fly fish. And you're going to learn how to do it and get the skills and get it right down there. But it takes time to learn how to fish. It takes time to learn how to speak and listen to the Holy Spirit and bring people around. I'm telling you what, we'd have great weekends of fish, but what we would do the whole night before, my dad would be on the top, be at the edge of the boat, and I'm driving around the perimeter, and he's spying out spawning beds. We're marking trees. And then the next morning, when they're hungry, we nail them. But as a fisherman, it takes time. You're scoping things out. You're listening. Just because you see something, you're checking, Lord, do I talk to that person? Maybe I just pray for him. Whatever it is, you're learning how to fish. And you're patient. You're patient. A fisherman has to be patient with themselves, and a fisherman has to be patient with the fish. It's the same with you. You're going to have to be patient with yourself as you're learning to fish, and you're going to have to be patient with those fish when you think they should have got it by now. All right? You have to keep it there a little bit longer. Also, prayer. You know, the Apostle Paul said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Here's an amazing thing. The great man of God, the Apostle Paul, just gets done correcting him for three chapters, and then says, pray for me. I'm about to preach the gospel. I want to do it right. I want to do it with boldness. Your prayers are important to me. You know, me and a guy, I was telling you about how we went to the streets and would witness and whatnot, and man, there was an hour of prayer. Serious, significant prayer. Praise God. After these things, Jesus appointed 70 others also, sent them out two by two before his face into every city, place, in every place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Great way to pray. Father, just send laborers. Move on hearts. You know, why did Jesus tell us to pray? The Father knows the harvest is great, yet we have a responsibility, don't we? We're still supposed to pray. You know, it's not just enough that God knows. Remember, Jesus said, the Father knows you have need of these things, but ask, seek, knock. It's not about the Father's knowledge. It's about our faith reaching out and asking for those things. And it includes the harvest. Paul's saying, pray for me. These people that he just got done helping to develop, grow up spiritually, I need your prayers. Prayer is powerful. It's a powerful way that will cause you to just rise up spiritually and be strong in the Lord and be able to reach out of your comfort zone and minister to people. So how to share the gospel? First of all, what is the gospel? It's God's simple plan of salvation. It's good news. You're a sinner. God provided a Savior in Jesus Christ who did die on that cross for your sins. If you call upon his name, you will be saved. All right? As we begin to share our testimony, we're basically giving our very own movie-like version or whatever-like version. It doesn't have to be dramatic. You know, obviously, it's not a beat that testimony thing, but it's real to you. At some point, it's something that happened in your life where it made sense, and you believe God, and you have fellowship with God, and you talk with him, and it's real. You know, so whatever flavor or your story is, it's powerful because you have received Christ. And then have a good news perspective. Again, the world wants to kind of get it off into morality debate issues. You bring it back to the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And I understand as much as anybody the desire and passion to make my moral points, to kind of vent and get some stuff out, but they need to hear that God loves them. They need to hear that Jesus died on the cross for them. They need to hear that they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Point them to the light. Tell them the light is good. Tell them that is a light of love. And that's a love that will transform their lives. Get them into the kingdom of God. Let your light, let your life shine. Your good works, they are important. It's what makes you salt and lights. It's what causes you to get on the radar screen. Have empathy and compassion. Again, think about it. Could you have won yourself to the Lord? Would you have won yourself to the Lord? Or would you run yourself off? Make sure that you're presenting the gospel in the same way the Apostle Paul did, with that empathy and compassion, being all things to all men, connecting with them. They can tell you love. They can tell you care. And then sweetly just minister with courtesy, like that one scripture said in the Message Bible uses. With courtesy, give a reason for the hope that is within you. Have patience. Realize, hey, you know, you're going to grow. You're going to develop in this. This is something you'll get better and better the more you do, and pray. Don't forget to pray. There is power in just praying on purpose, specifically for the salvation of people, for your loved ones, for crusades, for events, everything, Lord. Just beginning to pray on purpose for the salvation. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much that we have the opportunity to share our faith, Lord. And it's what we want to do. Lord, we want this treasure that's in our earthen vessels, this treasure of salvation, Lord, to get out. We want more treasures in earthen vessels, Lord. Help us to get the precious jewels that you've placed on the inside of us out. Help us, Lord, to really look with a heart of compassion, Lord, toward people as we share our testimony, as we tell our story, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would give us insight to step out and to believe in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to shine. I want to be a light. Help me to share the gospel. The good news. When people want to fight, help me to point them to the gospel. It is the one thing they will not be able to get out of their heart after they leave. The gospel is the power of God. Help me to approach people with empathy and compassion. That could be me. If it wasn't for somebody willing to share and love their faith, I'll have patience and I'll pray. Lord Jesus, today's my day, the day I call upon your name. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I receive that love now. In Jesus' name, amen.